Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A nation of immigrants came to build a better life. A nation holding the torch of the most powerful idea ever in the history of the world. That all of us are created equal. That all of us deserve to be treated with dignity, justice, and fairness. That democracy must defend and be defined and be imposed, moved, in every way possible.
I was almost there, and then all of a sudden he reads it wrong, and then he makes up for reading it wrong, and then he adds words, and now he's talking about democracy being imposed, which is kind of a weird way to say it. We are going to force you to be self-governing! I don't think that's what the cue cards actually said. So President Biden gives his farewell speech, what, Wednesday? Thursday? Whatever it was last week. When was it? I think that's right. Anyway, I was on vacation, so this is my chance to cover it before he's not president anymore. Of course, that happened a long time ago. Anyway, what was the joke? Somebody had the, was it Saturday Night Live? I think it was. Hold on. I hadn't planned this exactly right now, but Colin Jost had the best joke of the night probably on Weekend Update.
President Biden said that the Israel-Hamas ceasefire talks were one of the toughest negotiations he had ever experienced. The hardest part was convincing both sides that he was still the president.
Aw. Poor little fella. Anyway, back to Biden's farewell. A lot of the things he was saying are sort of right and trite, you know, normal. They should be said. Liberty, justice, rule of law, blah, blah. I mean, you know, it's all good stuff. I mean, some of it was good stuff. But even there, he couldn't get out of his own way enough.
I know that believing in the idea of America means respecting the institutions that govern a free society. The presidency, the Congress, the courts, a free and independent press.
Good, good.
Institutions that are rooted, they just might not reflect the timeless words, but they echo the words of the Declaration of Independence.
It's like two-thirds coherent and one-third. What gibberish is this? I don't know what you're doing. They're rooted, they're reflected. I read the word wrong. Now I'm not sure where I am. He did seem to know what he was talking about, at least in his own mind, when he was warning us against the big bad O word.
I have no doubt that America's in a position to continue to succeed. That's why my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern.
And by the way, interesting note, I have no doubt the United States is in a great position to succeed. That's why I want to warn you about things that could happen when I'm not president anymore.
This is a dangerous concentration, and that's a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. And the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked.
Okay, I think, you know, this is one of those cases where if you're a Republican or a Trump supporter or a conservative, all three of those things are not the same, by the way. There's overlapping. It's a Venn diagram. That you hear this and there's a part of you that kind of wants to be like, shut up, man. But there's another part of you that should be, yeah, correct. Concentrations of power are bad. The basic worldview of conservatism is that, people are sinful. Maybe they were created good, but they've fallen since then. They have problems and flaws. And it is because of their selfishness or their wickedness that we should not give anybody too much power. Power should always be separated, segregated, split up into different groups, pitted against one another so that the separation of powers keeps that corrupt human nature from acting too quickly, too badly. That's the principle of our system of government. People are bad. Don't trust anybody with power. So the note that wealthy people have a lot of power, be cautious. Tech companies have a lot of power, be cautious. That's actually a conservative note. The question is, are his fears manifesting, or are his warnings more true under Trump or more true under him. But the general note, be concerned about the accumulation of power, that yes, in anybody's hands. That's right. Be cautious.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead.
Okay. An oligarch, well, having wealthy people could be evidence of a coming ruling by the elite wealthy people, could be evidence of great corruption, could be evidence of a free system of exchange of products and services that voluntarily, when people get really good at it, produces for them an awful lot of wealth, which wealth, remember, is thank you notes from other people. You know, and when somebody has billions and billions of thank you notes, does it mean that they're wicked or that they're a threat to democracy? Or does it mean that they did a lot of people favors? And that's why they gave them those thank you notes that have pictures of people like, you know, Lincoln and Jackson on them. So wealth can be a problem, but wealth can also be evidence of market freedom and economic liberty.
We see the consequences all across America, and we've seen it before. More than a century ago, but the American people stood up to the robber barons back then and busted the trusts. They didn't punish the wealthy. Just made the wealthy pay the, by, play by the rules everybody else had to.
We are nowhere close to the conditions of the robber barons and child labor and people killing each other over whether they can unionize. I mean, you know, if you really look at history, A, the robber barons were atrocious people who, by the way, the awkward fact of history is they also did a lot of amazing things for the country, like built the railroads, you know, and steel industry. I mean, like, it's really a mixed message because these people did horrible, horrible things, and they also did things that made the country what it is. It's not so easy to say one way or the other. But still, we're just not, it's not that anymore. You know, the minimum wage, which is destroying businesses. you know, the maximum amount that you can pay somebody, or the minimum amount that, well, what is it? So they become exempt versus non-exempt employees, that you have to actually pay people overtime and not abuse them as, like, there's all kinds of rules in place that protect employees that did not exist, you know, 100 or 130 years ago. So we are way better off today than we were back then. But some of the warnings are worth talking about, and I'll mention those in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Looks good so far. No accidents to report. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Just seeing a minor delay in front of West Florida Hospital, but that's to be expected at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Biden's farewell address, which was mercifully shorter than I expected it to be. The TV said it was 35 minutes. Like, no, it was like 16. So I'm like, well, all right. But even, you know, I joked earlier about, you know, TikTok is what you watch while you're watching a movie. I was like listening and kind of, this is so boring. I want to do other stuff. But, he, you know, there are some things in here worth talking about. Again, oligarchy, if you don't know the term, is just, it's rule of, depending on which definition you use, but it's typically conceived of as ruled by wealthy people. A few, a fairly small number by percentage of the population's sake of wealthy people make the big decisions. And he's warning us against oligarchy.
People should be able to make as much as they can, but play by the same rules. Pay their fair share of taxes.
Every time he says it, I just kind of, I don't want to do any actual violence to the president, but every time somebody says that they ought to pay their fair share, I just want to smack somebody because what is that number and why do people with more thank you notes have to pay more than the rest of us? Like, you know, that doesn't make any sense philosophically, but you know, okay, they hate the rich. Why? I don't know. I want people to make as much as they can. So what, I can tax them more? Anyway, so he goes on.
You know, his farewell address, President Eisenhower spoke of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. He warned us then about, and I quote, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power, end of quote. Six decades later, I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech-industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well.
Oh, it certainly can. Oh, he's not wrong. I mean, this accumulations of power, the ability to sway opinion, the ability to control markets or politicians or to control who gets in office. I mean, these are all things that, again, every American should be concerned about this. Anytime there's a lot of power, in one or a few hands, you should be on alert. Because historically, when power gets accumulated, then bad things happen. Really, really bad things happen. So he's not wrong about that. But then he goes on, and this I thought this was the most amazing thing. So he's going to complain. He's talking about tech accumulation of power and wealth and influence. Right? He's talking about these things, and he says,
Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power.
You mean like governments coercing social media companies to censor stories that are politically disadvantageous to the incumbent, like the Hunter Biden laptop story, or fabricate stories about corrupt ties to Russia, or like, or suppress criticism of COVID policy? You're the man. You did this. And the principle is right. Beware accumulation of power, because it can be manipulated for bad purposes by your administration or any administration. Why do we have... The temptation is to give good people or people who you think are good or going to do your things. It's the temptation is to give them your power, is to give them power and to feel comfortable when they have it. No. Be wary, because if they have it, that means the next guy will have it. And you don't want the next guy to have it. You want nobody to have it. So, and by the way, historically, like if you, you know, read the philosophers, and I don't assume that you have, but, you know, the basic teaching of the history of philosophy going all the way back to Plato is that, you know, something like democracy is good for a while, but it always implodes and becomes tyranny. Because people are dumb. Self-governing people don't become smart because they're self-governing. They have to be smart and virtuous in order to self-govern effectively. That's the George Washington's farewell address kind of concept. You know, our system of government is built for a good and moral people and smart people. Okay, that's part of why we have public education, out of the theory that you have to have people be educated about everything in order to understand their government, in order to make choices when they elect people. I mean, there's a whole, like, there's a lot of stuff built into making something like this survive. But if the people become dumb and then there are problems, people will ask for sort of strongman dictator types to come in and solve their problems, and then you get tyranny. And that's, democracy historically has always imploded, eventually. So how do we prevent that? Well, again, accumulation of power. He's right. The problem is, he's not the one who should be saying this, because his own administration abused the power to influence the accumulators of power in social media.
The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
And the old question is always going to be, and who decides, right? The Biden administration was all too comfortable saying, we will. And in America, the history is saying, no. No. But he's not wrong about the concern that the accumulation of influence, power, information, money among tech companies is absolutely a concern. He goes on talking about AI and all that. He's right. It's the question of how do you solve that? Well, not by putting government in charge of it, sir. Sorry. 437-1620. So it was an interesting speech. His last, I guess, official speech. And then today in... what did I say? 4 hours and 36 and a half minutes. A different dude's in charge. Don't be excited that your dude's in charge if the level of accumulation of power stays or goes up. It's the accumulation of power you should be concerned about, not so much the person wielding it. The only way to avoid this problem is to disaccumulate power, is to break things up, separate them, shrink government, restore local or state government to the proper place. Dismantle is the only answer to avoid tyranny that always comes from, again, dumb people falling for it and electing dictators, which historically that's how this pattern goes. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, folks, this is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's chief financial officer. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress. Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, fight, fight, fight. That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, yes, sir. I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronas, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on January 28th, paid for by Friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Jimmy Petronas failed us, presiding over what Trump called the worst insurance crisis in the country, while his PAC accepted millions from the insurance industry.
Petronas's campaign is even being funded by the liberal anti-Trump group Americans for Prosperity.
Like Donald Trump and Elon Musk, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. I'm the only candidate with the outsider experience to make it happen.
I'm Gene Valentino, and I approve this message.
Republican for Congress, District 1.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Shut it down! Shut it down forever!
Fishbone is the band you didn't know you needed this morning. 627 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Yes, I'm back from vacation. Thank you to everybody who filled in for me, Bobby and Alex and Walker and John. They always do a good job. And for John, other John, for holding down the fort.
Well, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. David, let's see, traffic on the fives first. No snow yet, just cold.
No, I-10, I-110 are looking good right now. No backups or delays to tell you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Very good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Andrew, is there any part of you that's really excited about this snow?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I
me
love
too.
Snow.
I do too.
And I hope we get it. I hope we get 3 inches.
Every year since I've moved here, I've tried to plan a trip back home.
Yeah.
In, you know,
just to see the snow.
To see the
reconnect
snow.
Reconnect with your roots.
But every time the snow has evaded me. And so I'm really excited.
Oh, all right.
So President-elect Donald Trump will be sworn in today as the 47th president of the United States. He's scheduled to be sworn in at 11:45 Eastern. And of course, we will have the full inauguration coverage starting, I believe, at 10 a.m. this morning. House Speaker Mike Johnson is hopeful that the ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas will hold. However, Johnson did tell NBC's Meet the Press that the U.S. is ready to stand behind Israel in the event that Hamas breaks that agreement. And for the movie lovers, Mufasa the Lion King is retaking the crown at the box office. That film grossed $15.5 million over the weekend.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. You were asking about the snow. I put a post up on my Facebook page yesterday of our 2 sleds, our disc saucer, our 2 ice scrapers, a little snow shovel, and what people probably didn't recognize was big salt for the driveway. I have all of that.
Got it all ready to go. Huh?
Make me an offer. Don't lowball me. I know what I have. We're ready. If there's enough to actually act, there may not be. There may be nothing. Maybe nothing. We'll see. You know, but we're prepared to enjoy it for sure.
Well, I'm sure all of the Midwesterners who are here are giddy with anticipation.
That's right. So, yeah. It's going to be cold whether we get snow or not. It's going to be cold the next several days. That's the real, you know, be aware of that and, you know, drip your faucets overnight and wrap them and protect your plants. By the way, if you didn't already do that, last night was when you should have. It was like 25 right now. So it's cold today. I mean, it's 5 in St. Louis. It's not that cold. It's barely freezing, but it is Florida, and it's not flip-flop weather. Well, maybe it is.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. With a few hours left in office, President Biden issues preemptive pardons for Dr. Anthony Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, and members of the congressional committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, all potential targets of President-elect Trump when he becomes 47th president of the United States at noon today, 8 years after his inaugural as the 45th.
He will start off with a service at St. John's Episcopal Church, then a tea and coffee reception hosted by President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden at the White House. The swearing-in ceremony begins around 11 a.m. at the Capitol. After that, Trump will deliver his inaugural address. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will leave the Capitol after those ceremonies.
Fox's Madeline Rivera in D.C. Inaugural events are being held indoors because of cold weather there. There are winter weather alerts across the South. Extreme fire weather conditions are back in the forecast in Southern California. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. 26 degrees right now. We've got clear skies this morning in Pensacola. Alice, freezing weather moves across the area. The American Legion is donating sleeping bags to be given out to the homeless across the area. Post 193 in Pensacola donated these bags to the Pensacola Police Department. Officers are handing those out to people who refuse a ride to a shelter. They're also accepting more donations of sleeping bags and blankets. So if you have any, contact Pensacola Police Department. Well, we are getting our first reports on the number of violations captured by the new red light cameras in Pensacola.
From January 1st to January 9th, 9 days, we recorded 509 violations. And those are confirmed and that were approved and that warnings were sent out. Understand, that's at 9 approaches. So that's not all the approaches we've had. We had a limb in the way at one of them. You know, we're working through, as we told you we would, through January to get everything up and going.
That is Mayor D.C. Reeves, and he says it's a problem that needs to be addressed. 4 more camera approaches should be activated here in the near future. And some videos of the most egregious examples of red light violations were shown at Mayor Reeves' press conference last week. He said it's no wonder the city's police officers have been tied up working crashes at those intersections. Again, the cameras are now active and sending warning tickets. Next month, they'll begin sending real tickets. The fine is $158. Also announced at that press conference, a $21 million initiative to repair and improve parks in Pensacola called Direction 25. That is a $21 million allocation for repairing and maintaining city parks and rec facilities. Mayor Reeves said residents will notice major improvements at least 54 different park locations across the city, and there may be smaller upgrades at even more parks around the area. There's a few new pickleball courts available in Navarre. Might be a little cold for pickleball today, but those courts were built at the Lenny James Tolbert Memorial Park on land donated by the Holly Navarre Fire District. It is the first 2 pickleball courts to be built in District 4 of Santa Rosa County. Commissioner Ray Eddington told the News Journal he was excited about the addition to his district and said he was a bit surprised at the number of people who were at the opening for those courts last week. Well, there were about 150 people that came out on Friday for the Gulf Breeze Chamber Ball Gala. That event was held in Pensacola Beach. They honored outgoing board chair Maggie Gray and former Gulf Breeze mayor Cherry Fitch. It raised money for nonprofit Take Stock and Children, which funds scholarships to high school students in the area. They're hoping the money raised last Friday will provide a full ride scholarship for one Gulf Breeze student to further their education. And it is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Taking a look at our traffic on the fives is John Pickens.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report right now. Everything seems to be flowing smoothly. I-10, I-110, just minor delays at Burgess and Highway 29 intersection. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Just seeing across our Fox News screen, it looks like President Biden has issued pardons for Fauci, Millie, the January 6th committee. So we'll get a closer look at this here, I guess, once a little bit more comes out on this. It is 6:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will be seeing sunny and very cold conditions today, high near 41 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping below freezing near 31 degrees. For Tuesday, 80% chance of some snow showers and sleet, 36 degrees for that high. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 20s with snow possibly still accumulating. As you go into Wednesday, we will have sunshine with a high near 38. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 31. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now it is 26 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 27 in Milton. Your next news at 7 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay, get your GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware at Barnes Feed Store.
Step right up to the spotlight, folks. Short Attention Span Theater is back by popular demand, lighting up the stage again for another unforgettable performance at Pensacola Little Theater. Prepare to be transported as they delve into a night filled with one-act plays. PLT's black box-style production promises an intimate experience, perfect for those looking to dip their toes into the vibrant world of theater. Showings January 24th through February 2nd. To learn more or buy your tickets, visit PensacolaLittleTheater.com or stop by the PLT box office.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
We've been working with the transition team. I've been speaking with the president. We had the governors down at Mar-a-Lago. There's going to be some ambitious policy changes that are going to be instituted on day one, particularly with respect to illegal immigration and major, major executive orders that are going to unwind the bad policies of the Biden administration, but then also provide a level of empowerment for states and local governments to help facilitate the policies against illegal immigration.
So Governor DeSantis calls a special session to start on Monday. So today we are inaugurating President Trump for the second time. And then special session is supposed to start next Monday. And then in March, we get the regular session, which they're already doing committees and already people are filing a lot of bills and all that. But he says there's no time to wait.
We have a responsibility to be in this fight. State and local officials in Florida must help the Trump administration enforce our nation's immigration laws. And we are going to need, in order to do that effectively, we are going to need legislation to impose additional duties on local officials and provide funding for those local officials.
So it's a bit of a collage, this special session, because immigration is the primary reason he's calling it, to align us with President Trump's policies that he is implementing today among between 100 to 200 executive orders that he's supposed to be putting in place. I thought, you know, I did not watch the thing he did yesterday, but I did think his one comment made me laugh and reminded me how I'll have no lack of material for the next 4 years.
Within hours of taking office, I will sign dozens of executive orders, close to 100 to be exact.
Roughly 100, to be precise, roughly 100. This is either a number or it's roughly. It's not precisely roughly 100. It's a small thing to quibble about. Anyway, but it's probably going to be more like 200 according to Fox News. So, you know, whatever. Anyway, but in and among all those things, and he is scheduled to do a lot day one when it comes to immigration. In fact, I mean, which no surprise, okay? He's going to end catch and release, pause offshore wind leases, terminate electric vehicle mandate, abolish the Green New Deal, withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord. He's going to set up the DOGE, you know, Department of Government Efficiency, declare a national border emergency, direct the military to work with Homeland Security to secure the border, establish a national priority to eliminate all criminal cartels, task force for protecting Homeland Security with officers from the FBI, ICE, the CEA. What is the CEA? I feel dumb. Sorry. And other agencies to fully eradicate the presence of criminal cartels. Rebuild and keep building the border wall. Suspend illegal immigrant entry across the southwest border. Unleash Alaskan energy. I mean, it's a lot. And that's like halfway through the article. There's more stuff to come. End DEI. Redefine biological sex as a man and a woman. Rename the Gulf of Mexico. Come on. He's not really going to do that, is he? It's like buried in, you know, paragraph 30 of this article. But Fox News claims that one of the executive orders is to actually follow through on this nonsense of rename. Okay, whatever. Anyway, back to Governor DeSantis. Governor DeSantis says we need to align ourselves with President Trump. We need to do what he says that we're going to do. We're calling a special session. Let's go.
Therefore, I'm going to call the legislature into special session. Starting the week of January 27th, we have the next president taking office January 20th. We anticipate executive orders to be issued immediately after the swearing in and the inaugural address. We're going to have some time to process, to make sure we're doing what we need to do. But then we need to act, and we need to act quickly.
So he got asked the question that I think was on everybody's mind, and at least was on mine. Because when I first heard this announcement, and it, again, it's not only on immigration. It's on ballot initiative reform, condos, funding for disasters. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's kind of all thrown in here. It had the feel to me of a pure political stunt when I first heard this announcement. I thought, oh, Governor, you know, let's put on a show. Let's kiss up to the new president. This is makeup after the breakup of the primaries or whatever. And that's what it looked like to me. And then I'm like, well, I kind of see it. There's a time-sensitive element to it. You know, if the president's going to change things, then we ought to change things in alignment with the president. Could it have waited until March in the normal process? Yes. Did we need a special session? No. Do we need to have four or five different things in the special session so we can all be confused about what the nature of it is? No, that's dumb. I think all of that stuff could wait for regular session, but he got asked by a reporter.
Talk about the timeline more on why is it important to have this done the last week of January instead of waiting until the first week of March?
Because the policies are going to go into effect the week of the inauguration. And so you can have, and it's not just the first week of March. I mean, some of this stuff wouldn't take effect potentially later if you do it in regular session. That's typically the process. So why would we want to twiddle our thumbs when we know that this is a major initiative? This is probably the most significant initiative, domestic initiative, that the new administration is going to do. So we need to be ready.
Okay. Okay. Things passed in session often don't take effect until like July 1st. This is getting ahead of session by, you know, a month and a half. Not quite. But, you know, when session actually produces something by 2 months, 3 months. The president's going to change things today. We want to be in line with him. Okay. All right. I guess I'm in favor. But again, I would say I'm in favor of this one topic. I don't see why we need to have the other ones. It just seems like this is good enough, you know, and they could do this quickly. But, you know, I suppose it depends what executive orders actually get put in place and how it really affects Florida, because that's going to be the question. Like, how does it really affect Florida? We're not a border state. I mean, not really. I mean, by water, yes, but that's not the problem, right? 646 here on News Radio 92.3. So special session starting on Monday, which mostly I'm against because that just means more work for me. That means even more meetings I have to watch. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 29 and 98 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, if you have a home improvement project you got to work on, you need hammers, nails, or safety equipment, or Yeti coolers, or a gumbo pot, or, I mean, you like, what is that all? Yeah, Pensacola Hardware has all that stuff. I mean, and we talk about the hardware side, right? Obviously, they have the supplies, okay? And they have the advice because they've been doing this for forever. I mean, the business is the oldest business in Florida since 1851. And it's like this institutional pride of knowing hardware and knowing how to help people build things and remodel and all that. But in the front of the house, like in the front of the store when you walk in, there's all of this cool just like things you could buy if you want to give yourself a gift or you want to give a friend a gift. You're not sure what to get them. Go to Pensacola Hardware and look around. You will find cool stuff that you can get them. Like I said, one of the 50 oldest businesses in the entire United States. They've been around since before the Civil War, and they know hardware, and they can help you with any kind of home improvement. Helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division, for fun,
Paul Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, Republican candidate for Congress here in District 1 of Florida. I'm a proud Pensacola native, first-generation college student, and a Yale Law graduate. But it was when I was working at the cookie store in Cordova Mall as a teenager, helping my family pay the bills, that I truly learned the value of hard work. Now, I'm running for Congress to do what the establishment has failed to do. I promise to end this homeowner's insurance nightmare, streamline access to veterans' benefits, and take education back local. I'm bringing new ideas along with fresh conservative leadership right when we need it most. On January 28th, elect a hometown leader you can trust and send your lawyer to Washington to fight for you. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I will be honored to earn your vote. I encourage you to learn more about what I stand for and see early voting locations. Please visit mdt4congress.com. That's mdt4congress.com.
Paid for and approved by Michael Dylan Thompson, Republican for Congress.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Alert one, this is Eagle One. You're cleared to fire. Splash the zeros. I say again, splash the zeros.
Yes, sir.
Donald Trump's inauguration ceremony has been moved inside the Capitol building. Hey, just like last time.
I'm a fan of Michael Che. I like Michael Che. He's funny. Of the two of them, I like. Too soon?
I haven't heard that yet.
Oh, yeah. That was SNL on Saturday.
President Biden delivered a farewell address to the nation on Wednesday and then triumphantly rode off into the pavement.
Oh. Let me show the video of him falling on the bike, right? Obviously. I played that one already. That's pretty funny.
Spikes have been installed on several New York City subway turnstiles in an effort to stop fare evaders, as well as to provide something sharp for mentally ill people to shove you into.
Have you seen this?
No.
They've got, like, try to picture a sheet of metal that's jagged cut on one side that they've installed. You know, you ever watch somebody jump a turnstile? They put their hand on both sides and kind of legs over. Well, instead of putting your hands there, now they've got, like, anti-human, anti-pigeon kind of like semi-sharp serrated steel plates up there, which they have videos of people already just putting their hands on it and going, like, it's not apparently that sharp. It's just more of a visual discouragement, or people wearing gloves or whatever. They lose a lot of money on people jumping fares in New York City, and they've raised the fare recently. But I just thought, sometimes when SNL does a thing and I haven't seen it in the news, it looks so crazy. It must be false. No, That's a real thing. Just like this one. This is, I thought this was false too.
Progresso is introducing a new soup-flavored hard candy called Soup Drops. Soup Drops are the brainchild of Progresso's new CEO, a deranged toothless hobo.
Yes, Progressive Soup actually is making, they're called Soup Drops. And their tagline is, soup you can suck on.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like chicken noodle soup flavored Werther's, I guess, is kind of the angle here. And David, I love your face.
This just sounds like something I'd hear about on Transgressors.
Yes, yes, or just completely made up, like as a spoof, like an April Fool's. This would be an April Fool's Day from Progresso. And apparently they came out with a limited edition on Thursday, and they're already sold out. And no. They're going to restock this coming Thursday.
No. Who's buying this?
Oh, they're going to restock.
Oh, yeah.
Inadvertent. I'll take the 5-yard, not the 15-yard. That's So, one last one here.
Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry has cleared homeless encampments in New Orleans ahead of next month's Super Bowl. No word on where they sent the homeless people, but on my way in today, a guy did ask me, you got that there dollar there, mon ami?
Oh, I don't know. I'm still stuck on the restocking. Sorry, John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly, even 98 rolling through Gulf Breeze. Everything else looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, yeah. My rule for doing this show is I will have fun. And I will encourage you to have fun along with me. And if you don't, it's your problem. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, as we learned here in the last half hour, President Biden issuing preemptive pardons for General Mark Milley, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and members of the January 6th Congressional Committee. That move aims to protect them from potential retaliation by President Trump when he returns to power. President Biden speaks on the release of the three Israeli hostages that were being held by Hamas. He says the ceasefire and hostage deal between Israel and Hamas as the result of months of negotiations.
And after so much pain, destruction, loss of life, today the guns in Gaza have gone silent.
At least two Americans are expected to be set free in the coming days. Around 2 weeks into the first phase of the ceasefire negotiations will begin towards a permanent end to the fighting. And the World Economic Forum is holding its annual meeting in the Swiss town of Davos. This week, thousands of politicians, executives, investors, and bureaucrats will be there to discuss the state of the world.
You think President Trump might come up at all?
Possibly.
It's possible.
Possibly, yeah.
How can we stop him? All right, David, thanks so much for the update.
I think most of the discussion will be on renaming the Gulf of America.
Certainly, obviously. 657 News Radio 92.3. If you need to get a next car, Frontier Motors is a great place to go looking. 300 or so used cars on the lot at any given moment. One for every executive order that President Trump... Actually, 1.5. Quick math. Anyway, the great cars that are in good shape, A quality, cars you can trust and last, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years old with, you know, 30, maybe 1,000 miles on them. That kind of thing is what they really specialize in. And then they warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they want to make sure that you can count on them. You get a better price than buying new. That's the goal. But you can rely on them the way you would rely on a new car. And, you know, they can, if they have what you want, buy it. If they have what you want close, send them looking for it. Go look. I always recommend don't shop when you're hungry. Don't buy a car when you need to get a car. Go shopping for a car months ahead of time because, you know, it's getting to the end of that relationship with the existing vehicle and go looking, you know, go looking around. That's what you do. And then eventually you find what you want and you get it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, John, we haven't done it in a while, but you got that future news music you can play for me? Yeah. Yeah. We haven't done future news in a while. I want to bring it back. It's one of my favorite features. All right, future news. I tell you what's going to happen. We tell you what's going to happen before it happens, and sometimes we're right. Ohio State, Notre Dame. What you got?
Ohio State.
Oh, I hate you so much. It's going to be Notre Dame because I can't stand the Buckeyes. How long will Trump speak today?
45 minutes.
Yeah, well, he's not outside.
He's going to be in a small room.
Ooh, boy. You know, I thought I knew my answer to this. No, I'm going to go hour. Hour plus.
Okay.
Hour plus. He always speaks for a long time. And he's got a lot of executive orders to announce and a lot of things to say. Will he stay on message?
Yes.
Will he ramble or stay on message?
Stay on message. Because he rambles message.
He's going to weave.
Really?
Weaver's a weave. He's going to weave at least a little bit. Yeah. Does TikTok ultimately divest or stay under ByteDance?
They divest.
They divest. So they stay on.
They have
they,
to.
They
yeah.
stay in action and they divest. I think they get. I think they don't divest, and I don't know that they get banned. That's going to be the question. I don't think they'll divest. The question is whether Trump will actually ban them or not. When will we get a date for the District 3 election for the representative?
Next year?
2 weeks. Okay. We're going to get a date in 2 weeks. And will there be snow tomorrow? And if so, how much?
Yes. One.
Yes, an inch.
You're listening to...